Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
And a good morning it is. Welcome into the early morning show. Happy Monday to you. Cale Berger with you, filling in for the legend Matt Cole, on vacation the entire week, hoping he's enjoying Michigan with friends and family. But I'm happy to be here with you for the rest of the week, 5 a.m. getting you ready for the day. And it's the start of a new day. The time is brought to you by AirPro Heating and Cooling. Visit aphvac.com. The time is 5:03. Lot to get to. Excited to be here. And I think first things first, right off the bat, the big Sunday evening news dump, the Patriots making headlines. Yes, they did it. They signed Cameron Newton, former Heisman Trophy winner, former number one overall pick, former Carolina Panther. They agree to a one-year contract, incentive-laden contract, that is worth upwards of $7.5 million if all those incentives are hit by Cam Newton. And let's just get this right off the bat. We all knew this was going to happen. From the minute Cam Newton was released by the Panthers, literally everyone and their mother, everyone I know, said he's going to be a Patriot. As soon as Tom Brady went in free agency to Tampa and Cam Newton was released by the Panthers, everyone connected the dots and said Cam Newton is going to be a Patriot. Cam's headed to Foxborough. And we all knew it was going to happen, but it doesn't make it any less, surprising or jarring, or just doesn't seem to take away the kind of amazement that the Patriots always seem to make these moves, to get the deal done, to do exactly what they need to do to outsmart the rest of the league in a sort of a sense. And it's just another example of Bill Belichick and the Patriots playing chess while everybody else is playing checkers. Now, you look at Cam Newton, and you know he's a guy who, he's got 10 years in the league now or so, about a decade. As I look at when he was drafted, so he's entering his 10th season. 10 years in the league, one-time MVP, went to one Super Bowl with the Panthers, one of the most prolific runners with the football we've ever seen at the quarterback position, a solid passer, a physical specimen to say the least, and the Patriots had a big gaping hole when Tom Brady decided to head south because he wanted to have some fun with his buddy Gronk and finish out his career not under the thumb of Bill Belichick and in the Sunshine State. I don't think anyone really legitimately thought that they were going to go into the 2020 season with Jared Stidham and Brian Hoyer as their two quarterbacks. I think we all can agree on that. But for some reason, Cam Newton gets released by the Panthers and he sits there and he sits there and sits there, and no other team takes a shot at him, makes a jump at him. We heard those reports a few months ago that the Steelers were interested, but that Cam was looking for a starting role. Still, there's plenty of opportunities in this league where you can bring in Cam Newton, he's going to be better than the starting quarterback you already have. And it seems like it's almost impossible that other teams can continue to be outsmarted in this way. But we've got to the point with the Patriots where it's just par for the course. It's what we expect of them. And now the Patriots, with their fantastic defense that was the best in the NFL last season, even though the Steelers were right behind them, the Patriots with their great, legendary, all-time, one of the best ever, if not the best ever head coach, and a great offensive coordinator and a great offensive mind in Josh McDaniels, now you give them a 6'5", 245 weapon in Cam Newton to slot right in there and take over from Tom Brady on a very, very team-friendly deal. And that's what this team always seems to be able to do, is they get these team-friendly deals, they get valuable guys, they get proven guys, and they get them on these ridiculously team-friendly deals. And I think the main thing, too, with that is Bill Belichick only goes out and gets guys he respects. Randy Moss, Chad Ochocinco, even Antonio Brown, for as much or as little respect as he deserves, Bill Belichick goes out and gets guys that have given him problems and have given problems to the rest of the league. And I think that's what old Bill saw in Cam Newton just sitting there on the scrap heap. He said, we can make something out of him. We can continue this thing. We can keep this thing rolling if we pick up Cam Newton for a very, very cheap price. And we can continue this thing and keep trying to win while I'm still coaching, while we still have this defense, while we still have some of these other veteran players that have won a lot of Super Bowls and won a lot in this league, we can still keep this train rolling a little bit and try and capitalize on the core that we've built, regardless of Tom Brady being here or not. Now, when I look at Cam Newton and what his fit is in New England, I think it's different than other teams. If you were to say, oh, we're going to put Cam Newton on, I don't know, what's a random team? If we put Cam Newton on the Chargers, I think there might be questions about what his fit is. You know, how are they going to utilize him? Are they going to utilize him in the right way? Not anything that's a knock on the Chargers, but I don't see the Chargers coaching staff, and mainly the reason being I can't think of who their offensive coordinator is. I don't see them as being this revolutionary kind of mad scientist group like I do the Patriots. When I look at Josh McDaniels and I look at Bill Belichick, I think of these guys just salivating at the mouth, thinking of the different ways that they can use Cam Newton in their offense to win football games. And I think the other thing, too, is you've seen Bill Belichick, and this is a little similar to what we've seen. I know he's very good friends with him. We've seen from Nick Saban in college football, over the last 10 years or so, he's been burned and beaten by these spread option quarterbacks, these read option quarterbacks, something that's transitioned to the NFL, especially as of late. And Bill Belichick, to an extent, has been burned by it, too. You know, he's had to deal with Lamar Jackson. He's had to deal with, you know, to a lesser extent, Patrick Mahomes. In division, Josh Allen, a guy who can beat you with his legs. And I think he realized, you know, maybe this is something that we can try out. Maybe this is something we can capitalize on, that we don't have, you know, a lumbering 5-plus-second 40 quarterback like Tom Brady in there. Let's get a guy in here who, albeit he's over 30 years old, he's 31, and he is coming off a foot injury that kept him out the majority of last season, a big reason why the Panthers moved on. I think Bill Belichick looks at this and sees it as an opportunity to kind of capitalize it and work their magic and retool their offense to a way that they can use Cam Newton's skill set and continue to win in this league. And I think for Cam Newton, it's the perfect destination, because I think he's got a lot left in the tank. Yes, he's had a lot of injuries over his career. He had the foot one last year. As I look at some of the other injuries Cam has suffered over his 10-year, now entering his 10th year of his career, he's had a foot sprain, the shoulder injury that's kind of messed up his throwing motion a little bit, that was much maligned a few years ago back in 2018. He's had knee strains, rotator cuff, concussions, back vertebral fracture, rib fracture. He's been banged up a lot, and that's going to come with the nature of the way he plays the game. But still, I think it's the perfect opportunity for Cam Newton to go in to a ready-made situation, a prove-it situation with a great defense, with a great coaching staff that's going to put you in a position to succeed. And if you want to extend your career another 5-6 years, this is the perfect opportunity to do that. So I think that's a great move by Cam Newton, and I applaud him for holding out to do what he wanted. But I also kind of laugh at the rest of the league that there was no one else willing to take the chance on a guy who's been a former MVP, that still at the ripe old age of 31 can wreak havoc on a defense. Now, the other things that there's two questions that we need to address really quick here about Cam Newton going to the Patriots. Number one, the Pats supporting cast in terms of receiving core is dreadful. You have an old Julian Edelman. You have N'Keal Harry, Mohamed Sanu. I mean, these are not top-flight wide receivers, and Julian Edelman, especially at his age, is not necessarily a top-flight wide receiver at all. But you look at that running back crew with the James White, the Sony Michel, whoever else they decide to bring in there. I really like the potential of how they can use that and, you know, do some read option stuff. Really just pound the ball down opponents' throats. And I think that with Cam Newton, at this age especially, I think that that's a way they can kind of get the most out of him. The other thing, too, is I know that there's questions about his health, but the guy's been sitting on his butt since October. I'm not a big believer in, oh, we shouldn't sign this guy because he had this injury in the past or whatever. I get it. There's injuries that really make you shy away from guys. But for Cam Newton, I'm sure he's taking care of his body. And the way he has not been hit over the last 9 months or so, I think it's a smart move by the Patriots. And I think it's another example of the Patriots just outsmarting everybody else, buying their time, and making a smart, competent decision that for some reason the rest of the league couldn't bring themselves to make. And now everyone's left saying, I told you they were going to do it. And sure enough, the Patriots did. Coming up next, I want to talk about a new addition to the Pitt men's basketball roster. Obviously, I'm known as kind of the Pitt guy here at the station. A transfer from Miami, Ohio. I'm going to tell you why I think he fits perfectly in what the Panthers are trying to do. And another home run addition by head coach Jeff Capel. More to come here on the Early Morning Show. Welcome back to the Early Morning Show. Cale Berger here with you all week, filling in for Matt Cole. Hope Matt is having an enjoyable time on his vacation with family and friends. But I'm glad to be here with you, getting you ready for the day, leading you up to the Fan Morning Show today with Chris Mack and Jim Colony, calling off until Wednesday. Last final thing on this Cam Newton thing. Obviously, the other thing with the Patriots is they released this Cam Newton news almost simultaneously, or it's leaked out. It's announced by Adam Schefter and the other NFL insiders. It comes just as the Patriots are getting slapped on the wrist once again. And I think that's another thing that kind of blows my mind that the Patriots continuously are able to do this is break the rules and get off scot-free or basically get no punishment. I think they know that they are basically free of consequences for anything they do. And I see it's transitioned over to Tampa because you see with Tom Brady and Gronkowski, the NFLPA still pleading with players, please stop your workouts. You're increasing the risk of spreading COVID-19. If we're trying to get training camp started on time, we shouldn't be out here throwing and not social distancing and whatnot. And Tom Brady now is posting FDR quotes to his Instagram page saying, the only thing we can fear is fear itself. It feels like Michael Scott from The Office saying, you miss 100% of the shots you don't take, Wayne Gretzky, Michael Scott. That's what it really feels like to me with Tom Brady. But they feel they have no consequences, and they feel that they can't be touched. And we see another example. I mean, they got a slap on the wrist for Deflategate, a slap on the wrist for Spygate, and now they have this new Spygate 2.0 from last year where they were filming the Bengals and Browns game with their television film crew. Here's the punishment, courtesy of ESPN's Mike Reese. $1.1 million in club fines, which, I mean, if you're Bob Kraft, that's relatively nothing. Loss of a 2020 third-round pick, and then the Patriots TV crews are not allowed to shoot games during the 2020 season. Oh my, how terrible that they can't film for their YouTube page the what's happening and or highlights of the games. They can just pull off ESPN or something. Boo-hoo. It's another slap on the wrist for a team that consistently doesn't follow the rules, and frankly, it annoys me. Also, another example of the Patriots playing chess while everyone else is playing checkers, and this is from reading verbatim from Adam Schefter. He says, this is very New England. Quote, now if Cam Newton plays well in 2020, leaves as a free agent, the Patriots could get back a 2022 third-round pick, compensatory third-round pick, to help make up for the 2020 third-round pick the NFL is taking away from New England for its videotape violation. So it's just, they're bringing in Cam Newton and thinking, well, if he doesn't even stay here and we don't bring him long term, he's just a 1 year fill-in so we can pull off some heist of a trade and get Trevor Lawrence. Now they're going to get the third round pick back a year later. I mean, it's just it's sad that the rest of the league continues to just be have laps run around them by this team and no one learns. They've been doing this for 25 years and it literally nothing has changed. It just baffles my mind. All right, quickly here. New addition to the Pitt men's basketball roster, Miami of Ohio transfer guard Nike Sabonde. Now, first, I love that's going to be a great name to say during halftime, pregame, and postgame of next season's Pitt basketball season. As you may know, that's my regular gig here at the Fan, is pre and postgame or studio host for Pitt football and basketball on the Fan here. But Nike Sabonde, new addition, I believe he's the last available scholarship for the Panthers in 2020. But I think another slam dunk by Jeff Capel. And you really look at this recruiting class that he's brought in 2020, and it's really been remarkable. John Hughley, William Jeffers, Femi Odukale, I'll get that one eventually, Maxim Madison, Noah Collier, and you bring in Ithiel Horton, who, from what I keep hearing out of that program and from the media, this guy is lightning in the bottle in terms of a scorer of the basketball, the transfer from Delaware. And now you bring in Nike Sabonde. And when you look at Sabonde's kind of makeup, now he is going to be a sit one, play one guy unless they're able to get a waiver. And with the way the waivers work in the NCAA, he could either play or there's either a great chance he plays the first game of the season or there's no chance at all. It's very arbitrary in the process. It seems like the only way you're able to get a waiver immediately is if you're a Division I former five-star quarterback recruit that's going from one Power 5 team to another Power 5 team. But I digress. But you look at Nike Sabonde, 6'4", 185. From what I hear, crazy athletic and a guy who can really score the basketball. And I think that's the number one thing that Pitt needs. And he's also a very good perimeter defender, which is you're always going to welcome more perimeter defense. And that's something definitely that Pitt was good at last year, but they lose Trey McGowan's, a pretty good defender, a really good pickpocket of the basketball. Now you bring in Sabonde, who's a guy who can slot right in there and be another really good defender on the outside, which is what you need in the ACC. But the other thing you need is you need scoring and you need athleticism. And that was one of the main things for Pitt last season was there were times where they just could not score the basketball. And, you know, you would hope that Xavier Johnson going into his third year now is going to take another step offensively, especially shooting the ball. Obviously the emergence of Justin Champagny and Ardis Toney, but this team still needs scoring. And that's the number one thing is you need guys that can get a bucket in the dire straits, in the time when the chips are down and the shot clock's running down and expiring. You need a guy that can get a bucket for you. And for all accounts, a career 15 points per game scorer and a former All-MAC selection in Nike Sabonde, that's exactly what this guy's going to be for Pitt. And that's why I think it's just such another brilliant move by Jeff Capel to bring him in, because he solves exactly what they need, and now they have depth. This team, I feel like, at points last season was playing a seven-man rotation. I feel like going into 2020 can go easily 8, maybe 9, maybe 10. I mean, I feel that confidently about the guys they brought in and the production and the improvements the guys already on the roster have made that I really think that's the direction that Pitt can go in this season. The other thing, too, with Sabonde is you need athleticism in college basketball. If there's one thing that's taught me of watching college basketball for the majority of my life where I've been aware of what's been going on, you can win in college basketball by strictly being athletic. There's a lot of teams that can't shoot, that can't score, that can't do a lot else, but they're athletic and it wins them games. And I think that's something that, especially for Pitt and playing in the toughest conference of college basketball, is something that's going to be important for them. You need to have athleticism. And I think that's a big step that Pitt's come far already. And they're just improving more in that aspect. Because you look back to the last year of the Kevin Stallings era, I can't even tell you last time I saw one of these players on the team dunk. I mean, it was literally, I was scratching my head. I could not figure out when that was because you never saw overt examples of athleticism from the Pitt team at the time. And now the third year going in with Jeff Capel, and you're starting to see high flyers, guys that can go and posterize somebody, guys that use that athleticism on the defensive end. And I think that's one of the most exciting things, and I think another reason why it's such a good addition, bringing in Nike Sabonde from Miami, Ohio, is he's another guy that's just athletic, and athleticism in college basketball, when it comes down to it, is the difference between maybe four or five games in your schedule, winning or losing, if you have athleticism. And I firmly believe that. So kudos to Jeff Capel, another great addition for the Panthers. And I can't even tell you how excited I am for the 2020-2021 season when the Panthers finally get on the court with some of their new faces. All right, one more segment here to come on the Early Morning Show before we get you ready for the fan pre-show with Chris Mack, Jim Colony, and myself. No Colin Dunlap until Wednesday. I'm going to talk about Ben Roethlisberger and what I think the Steelers need from Big Ben in 2020. That's all coming up right here next on the Early Morning Show with Cale Berger. Welcome back into the Early Morning Show. Cale Berger here with you. I'll be with you all week, filling in for Matt Cole. Happy to be with you on this Monday morning. Got to say, I really enjoy some of these rejoins and beds that Matt Cole has curated for this show. A great one right there, a classic to me. Maybe some of you older listeners might have never heard of it, and some of the younger listeners, if they're up right now, think that's a little too old for them. But it's in the sweet spot for a classic for someone of my age at the ripe age of 23. Final thing here before we get you ready for the fan morning show, and I want to talk about Ben Roethlisberger because I sit here in this chair, and especially when pit season is not underway, when there's no pit football, pit basketball, I kind of revert back to my original role here as a producer here at 93.7 The Fan. And over the last few months, especially through quarantine, we've heard a lot about Ben Roethlisberger and his return from that season-ending elbow injury he suffered against the Seahawks in Week 3 a year ago, and what the expectations are for Ben. And, you know, we've seen him shave his beard. We've seen him working out with Juju Smith-Schuster and Ryan Switzer and James Conner. Everyone's excited about what Ben brings back to the Steelers in 2020, and rightfully so, because the quarterback play was absolutely abysmal with Mason Rudolph and Duck Hodges. And I know the Steelers want to stick with Mason Rudolph, and he's their boy, and I do what you got to do, especially in this pandemic-altered season that we're likely going to have. Do what you got to do if you want continuity. That's fine. That ship has sailed. But I want to talk about what our realistic expectations need to be for Ben Roethlisberger and what we want should what Steelers fans should want from Ben Roethlisberger. And what I keep reverting back to is they don't need Ben Roethlisberger to be the same old Ben in this way. They don't need him to be the gunslinger, the throw with reckless abandon, the workhorse with his arm that's going to throw the ball 40, 45 times a game, because that's not going to win the Steelers football games, and that's not going to get the Steelers back to the playoffs in 2020. I hate to burst your bubble if you are rabid for Ben's return and chomping at the bit. That's not what they need. As much as we'd all love to see him throw the ball 40 times a game and all over the yard and prove people wrong at the age of 38, that's not what they need from him as their starting quarterback in 2020. And I point to the last full season for Ben in 2018 as the reason for that. His last full season prior to the injury, Ben Roethlisberger led the league in completions, led the league in attempts, and also led the league in yardage 2 years ago. But that's all great. Those are great counting stats, and you love to see it. It's flashy. It's nice. But you look back, he also led the league in interceptions with 16, and the Steelers didn't make the playoffs. And when I look at the 2020 Steelers and what this roster is made up and how it's made up, they have a great defense, an elite defense. One of the top three, probably maybe even top two best defenses in the league. And you look at the skill positions. You look at some of the additions they made. They did add some additional targets for Ben and Chase Claypool from the draft and Eric Ebron by way of the Colts at tight end. They also brought in Derek Watt at the fullback position. What the Steelers need from Ben Roethlisberger is not for him to be a game manager, because I hate that term, because it takes away the impact of the quarterback and what they're actually doing and what they're providing to the team. But they need him to just... they need him to just be there and swallow his pride a little bit. And by I say swallow his pride, I mean understand that at his age and with the way this team is made up, they don't need him to throw the ball 50 times. What they need is competency at the quarterback position, something that this franchise is begging for after the 2019 season. They need just competency at the quarterback position. And what they need to do is make a concerted effort to be balanced offensively. Now, say what you will about James Conner and his down 2019 season and his injury history, but whatever. They bring in the running back from Maryland in Anthony McFarland. They bring back James Conner. They signed Derek Watt, which is a great PR move because you have two Watt brothers on the same team. They can promote their tag show on Fox together. That's great and all. That's a lot of good fun. But you don't sign a fullback for $2 million or whatever it was unless you're making concerted effort to run the football. Eric Ebron doesn't help you in that situation because he's a pass catcher clearly and completely. But what the Steelers need to do is make a concerted effort to be balanced in 2020. Because number one, that's going to help that defense be even better because it's going to keep them off the field. And when they are on the field, they're going to be more rested. They're going to be more energized. They're going to be more flying around, doing whatever they need to do, whether it's Minka, TJ Watt, or anything like that. They need, that's exactly what the Steelers need in 2020. So when you're, if you're Ben Roethlisberger, and if you're the Steelers coaching staff, if you're Coach Randy, if you're Mike Tomlin, you need to be real with your 38-year-old franchise quarterback and say, listen, we need to go in a different direction. We need to figure this thing out together and be on the same page of how we're going to attack this season. Because I think if the Steelers, if they sit down with Ben and they tell him, you're going to throw 25 times a game, we'll give you 30 on some days. But if we just tail it back a little bit and we try to be more balanced, it's going to help this team in literally all facets of our franchise, of our team. The other thing too is we've seen Ben throwing on air with Juju Smith-Schuster and such, but we don't know what he's going to look like once he gets out there on the football field with 300-pounders running after him that run a 4.5, and with NFL corners and the speed of the game. It's been a while since Ben Roethlisberger has been on an NFL football field. So I think that's the number one thing, is that we don't know what he's going to be. And if they try to attack this season all gung-ho with Ben throwing the ball 45 times a game and he's not his old self, even though Kevin Colbert seems to think he's better than ever, let's see. Let's hope. If that's the case, perfectly fine with me. But I think the best way for the Steelers to approach this 2020 season, however it ends up looking at the end of the end of this summer and going into the fall amid this pandemic that we're under, I think the best thing for the Steelers is just try to be balanced and let's not get ahead of ourselves and let's not try and prove, if you're Ben Roethlisberger, don't try and prove that you're as good as you were when you were 25, 28. Let's try and win football games. Let's try and win another Super Bowl. That's what you're here for, right? That's why you signed on again. That's why you're playing until you're 38. You want to win a third Super Bowl. And the best way to do that is going to be by not chucking the ball over the yard every play, having a balanced attack, and playing winning football. And that's what the Steelers and Ben Roethlisberger need to realize in 2020. This has been the Early Morning Show. Pleasure to be with you. Filling in for Matt Cole, I'm Cale Berger. Getting you ready here for the Fan Morning Show, and happy to be with you for the rest of the week every day here, getting you ready at 5 a.m. talking sports with you. Got some exciting topics, maybe some guests coming up this week. A lot to look forward to. Thanks for tuning in, and when we come back, we'll be back with the Fan Pre-Show, getting you ready for the Morning Show with Chris Mack and Jim Colony here on 93.7 The Fan.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.